This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's just different.
My people, if you listen to the sound of my voice, I have a special guest with us. He's joining us on the first episode, so I really appreciate it. Matt Hardy, what's going on, legend? Can I call you a legend? Is that cool? Does that feel bad?
No, I'll accept that. I'm good with that terminology. It doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, appreciate you. I've got my wife here, man, just to make sure I stay in line, brother. Keep me in line. Keep me all, you know, what I mean? Keep me on the up and up.
I know what you're saying. My wife keeps me on the up and up too, man. She's a Boricua, so you know she makes sure I stay in. I get you. I feel you.
Sir, let's get right into it, sir. Your career's been lengthy. You know what I mean? You've been all around the world. You've traveled. You've done things. You've lived. You have a family. So first and foremost, let's just start out like, how are you doing, brother? How's your family doing? How's everybody going, man?
Everybody's good. I am on a year number 31 of my career. This is crazy. That it's been 31 years. What a journey. Started in 1992, October of 1992. So it's been very good, very rewarding, and I have nothing to complain about. I mean, as I was a little kid, all myself and my brother wanted to do was like be the world tag team champions one time. So we obviously did that many times over, and we were able to, you know, transition this into a really nice living for ourselves. And now I have a very good split. AEW has a good schedule, which allows me to work kind of a minimal amount of time, and I get to spend a maximum amount of time at home with my kids, which is great. And I have four kids. They are 7, 5, 3. Those are all boys. And then I have a girl who is 1.5.
Busy.
It's all men on duty with these kids at all times. Every minute of my day is accounted for when I'm home, but it's all good, man. They're the best thing ever.
So thinking about that, brother, how important was that schedule to you, you know, and you working all these years and working different arenas and working different places? And I know you love what you do, but how important is it to get that ideal schedule as far as being someone in professional wrestling?
Your kids, they're only trying to cherish and be present and live in the moment at every different stage they're in and be there to remember. So, yeah, the schedule was very important. Tony Khan is the best boss I've ever worked for, because sometimes you work at a wrestling company and people just see you as a cognitive machine, as a wrestler, and they don't really think about your family time, your personal time. But Tony puts that first and foremost, which is great. So, yeah, that was a big deal. And once again, Tony Khan takes great care of me, and the schedule is amazing, especially considering when I first started full time in 1998, I was on the road 10 days on, 4 days off. That was all year. It was insane. I couldn't imagine even trying to do that now.
So I think about that kind of stuff, though, when you hear so many different things about, you know, Tony Khan and what people say and perceptions and all this kind of stuff and all this stuff floating out here in the Twitter sphere and Snapface and FaceTweet and all that other stuff, Mr. Hardy. But what can you tell people about Tony Khan that they don't know? You say he's a great boss, but what are the misconceptions about Mr. Khan?
He doesn't come off as a promoter or like your boss. He comes off more as another human being who like cares about you and wants your personal life to also be in its best position possible. Not only does he want you to be great in his wrestling company, he wants you to be in the great position possible at home with your family, which is something that is greatly appreciated. And he's very real, man. He's one of the more real guys you'll ever deal with. He's very genuine. The way people would give him a hard time about how he would hug guys and do whatever. I mean, he loves the people he works with, man. He loves humanity, and he's a good dude on top of that.
It's awesome stuff. Do you think about your legacy? You talked about 31 years. Do you think about that? You talked about just wanting to win the title with your brother. You accomplished that many times over and done different things and won many titles for many different years, many different places, whether AEW, WWE, overseas, things like that. But do you think about legacy, or are you just happy to be a professional wrestler and getting in the square circle?
A little bit of both, probably. I mean, I love doing this. And I knew I was going to get the opportunity to still perform and have a good schedule at AEW. And that's why I ended up making that decision ultimately. So I want to do this as long as I can, because I love it. I mean, this is like, I feel like when I go to work every week, it's not a job, because it's something I love, something I'm very passionate about, and something I truly enjoy. And it's so cool too. I want my kids to be able to see me wrestle. And it's cool that they do now. Whenever I'm on TV or doing stuff, they get to check it out, and they get to kind of understand a little bit of what dad does, you know, even though a lot of my old stuff, I'm sure once they get older, they'll appreciate it. And they'll go, oh my God, you did all these ladder matches and table matches and TLC matches, dad. That's incredible. You know, we were the stuff we did back in the day, especially bringing the tag team scene back to relevancy when we were doing all the TLC stuff, man, that's very important to me. And it's cool that we were given the opportunity to be in a position to do so much trailblazing and groundbreaking. And yeah, I hold that legacy very, very, very dearly. And, you know, now I want to go out. I want to help the next generation. I want to give back. That's something that's very important to me. Even this week on Dynamite, myself and Ethan Page were wrestling against two of the guys who are going to be the future of AEW, and that's Hook and Jungle Boy. And I'm very happy to be in that match and do what I can to help move them along.
Is there anybody else that you see anywhere, AEW, anything that's catching your eye as far as a young crop of talent, male or female, that you're looking like okay, this person got it?
I thought Jungle Boy was very special right from the beginning. MJF, obviously, it goes without saying, he's done so phenomenal there, and like what a get he was for AEW in the big scheme of things. I'm great friends with the Young Bucks, but I love what the Young Bucks are doing, and they truly are. I feel like they're the tag team nowadays. They're almost the standard, especially with the way they not only carry themselves, their creativity as well. And I see a child sneaking in right here.
I see it too.
I was like, oop.
I was like, no.
Get out of here and go see mama, okay? So yeah, there's so much gifted young talent. And I'm really curious to follow the ascension of Hook as well. You know, I think he started from scratch, and it's going to be really interesting to see the path that he carries. I know Taz works with him very, very closely, but the Acclaim, they're two guys I'm very proud of. They've done amazing stuff, especially they were just kind of stuck together as a tag team, and they really got over. They became like one of the most over acts in 2022. So there's so many guys I love. There's such a great locker room, such a great environment. I love being at AEW, man.
I really like to hear that, though. You know what I mean? Just because what happens is so many times, like there's this moment where everyone feels like you have to be against everything, you know, like as far as like the toxic fan bases is what I want to talk about a little bit. You know what I mean? And you've seen so much for so different years. You've been in eras before we had this crazy internet or this crazy thing called Twitter. And I'm curious, nothing is more crazy to me nowadays, Matt, is when I see fans talking about demographics in ratings, man. So like I just want to get your thoughts on when the hell did people start caring about like 18 to 49 demos and 3.2s and carry the ones and when did that happen? And what is your thought process when you see someone talking about a demographic on the internet?
Well, I'm going to sum up social media in two lines here. The best thing about social media is that it gives everyone a voice. The worst thing about social media is that it gives everyone a voice. And I truly stand by that, because it's crazy, because like in social media, when people can get behind their computer and get on their keyboard, I mean, there's no accountability. You can float anything out there. You can say it to anyone. It's just so different. Now, don't get me wrong. And there's a ton of ways that it's great promotion for companies, for upstarts like AEW to put stuff out there, and for new talent, it's a great way for them to get their stuff out there. You know, you couldn't do that back in the day when we were coming up in the 90s. You either got magazine coverage or you didn't get any. You know, that's kind of how it was. So the landscape has changed so much. So it's a good thing in many, many ways. But also, you know, there's going to be people that get on that are thinking emotionally and not necessarily the best thought process that will just like immediately like have a knee jerk reaction and put something out there. And then they'll talk about, well, this guy isn't good because he didn't get the ratings, or this guy is good because he did get the ratings. And at the end of the day, they're fans and they just have an opinion. It doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's wrong. But once again, there's so many people that comment on things like they feel like they know things, but unless you've been in the business and you've done it and you've had years of experience, you really don't know what you're talking about. You know, so it's just, it is what it is, man. It's just something that has changed a lot over the years, and you just kind of have to learn to roll the punches.
You know, a professional wrestler and a person that's done this business and been in this business as long as you have, how do you, because there's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse, you know what I mean? To me, they're like the best and the worst fans I've ever seen in the best way, you know what I mean? Like, but how does somebody like you, though? I'm just a person that just talks about it, but how do you handle that, though? We're talking about, like, for your mentality, your mental health, people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that, like, you know, from a day-to-day basis? How do you block that stuff out?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy, if you were somebody else, just a regular person, and you'd vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean? It just, you have to realize, I think in my position, from where I sit, my vantage point, you have to remember that Twitter isn't real. And that goes for the insults as well as the compliments. You know, so there are people that say all kinds of different things, good and bad, but you have to remember it's not a accurate barometer of what you're doing or how your life is.
It's well said. I was talking to my wife about this before, and you know, everyone talking about kayfabe being dead and things like that. Do you, look, put it like this, back in the day, celebrities, wrestlers, there was this mystique as far as you not kind of having that access to them all the time. And there was nothing more like that than professional wrestling. And over the years, it's kind of gotten away from that. Is there a good side to fans having access and knowing all the things that's going on in the wrestlers? Like, or is there something to be said about that mystique and that mystery where you don't know what the hell's going on and you can just enjoy like the product, enjoy the characters, enjoy the storylines?
There is. I mean, there is something very unique and special and also attractive about that mystique that I think made wrestling fans enjoy the product more. And they didn't have all this intel about the inner workings of the business. So they didn't think about that stuff. And now they think about that stuff and they comment on it. And the one thing I can say that's a positive about it, if a story floats out somewhere on the internet and people think it's true, even if it's not, it's almost like the new kayfabe. Like, people know inside stuff and you can almost build stories off that or build characters off that, you know, and things happen all the time. MJF's a great example. They, you know, utilize the internet very strongly on the stuff he did because people thought something specific was happening right with it. So they leaned into it. You know, that's kind of like learning to work with the internet, I guess, in some ways.
That's awesome. Yeah, I never even thought about it from that aspect. That actually makes sense using it as an advantage as far as, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? this is a question. Even I didn't even have this then written down. What's the sentiment on Jim Cornette in the locker room, man, at AEW? Seriously. Because every single time I turn around, this dude is trending about something. And I grew up watching him, growing up loving the character, grew up loving the person. And is his name like, does it get discussed as much as they think it does?
As far as Jim Cornette goes, Jim helped myself and my brother out a lot in the beginning. He was a big supporter of us when we did stuff with WWE before we had a job as extras. He brought some Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I really, you know, had a lot of respect for him at that time, especially. But as time has gone on, and, you know, there's been a couple times he's had situations in different places, and that's, you know, ended up with him not working there, whatever. I feel like his biggest shtick and his biggest income right now is his podcast. And one of the things he does is almost like claims to hate watch AEW, you know, because it's so bad or whatever. And just the sentiment among 90% of the guys is they don't care for him, you know, and it just is what it is, because he's like trying to use other people as stepping stones at AEW and like bury their work or what they're doing or the whole AEW movement in general to try and better himself. It's almost like a shtick that he's doing, you know, and I can say this, anything that I hate, I certainly don't watch, and I would never spend time talking about it. And if someone acts like they hate something that they continue to talk about over and over and over again, something's up, because that's they're obsessed with it then. That's the deal. But as far as Jim Cornette goes, it's really made me lose a lot of respect for him as time has gone on, as he's just done his deal. You know, he's a great wrestling mind and a great wrestling personality. But I mean, like, if you have guys like the Young Bucks, and they are both two really good family men, two guys I love so much. I mean, they both despise Jim Cornette. I mean, he wished for Orange Cassidy to break his neck, and not just all kinds of just terrible, awful things. Just like, dude, like, if you don't like something, just don't watch it. Don't comment on it. It'll make the world a much easier place. That's, once again, kind of one of the issues with the internet, right? You know, just everyone has their opinion and they can say whatever. Now, like, there's a lot of stuff that's just absurd that ends up getting floated out there that just ends up causing a lot of division and butting of heads, you know? So that's the one thing I really dislike about Cornette, how he just kind of hate watch AEW because it's popular and it's got his fan base, but it's just like his shtick now. And he knows he can make money off of it by trash talking it on his podcast. It is what it is.
Yeah, as well said. And I think about those things when I just, let's put it like this. Everyone that has their special thing about wrestling like they like, you know what I mean? There, if you've seen a million different fans, you've done a million different signings, and they'll tell you the things they love about your character, even your development, or wrestler they used to watch back in the day, you know, from like, if it's Gorgeous George or if it's Hogan or whoever. So my thing about it is, what is your thought process for a person that's been in the business for 3 decades? It's the new era of wrestling that some of the purists don't like. What can you speak to that from what you see as far as what this new crop of talent is bringing to the table?
It's what happens in every business. It's what happens in society. Things change, things evolve, and you either have to learn to accept it or, you know, time passes you by. I mean, it just is. I mean, it's been like that. That's like the story of life and time, right? I mean, things change as you get older. There's so much stuff that's done differently from how it was done when I first started, obviously, but also when I first started, it was the Wild Wild West, and wrestling was a terrible place, which had like a terrible culture, you know, and there's been so many positive changes on that front. But there's now, people are less worried about like the size of the wrestler. They're more worried about the athleticism of the match and the quality of the match. And character is still a huge and important deal. I mean, Orange Cassidy character, I think it's brilliant. I love it so much.
It is.
I enjoy working with him. And he's so talented. I mean, he could literally go out there and wrestle his ass off every single night and have an amazing match. But like, his character is what makes him, and that's what makes him popular. You know, and if you hate that because like, oh, it's doing this, it's giving away the business. I mean, you're also on your podcast talking about the business in depth anyway. You're doing the exact same thing that you know, say that you don't want the business to do, which you're being, you know, hypocritical. So it is what it is. I mean, even I have a podcast as well, The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, that I do. This week, I just had a very tough issue to do. I'm just going to plug it real quick. It was a very tough issue to talk about, but it was Jay Briscoe. We just kind of scrapped what we did, and just Jay was a friend of mine, and I got to know him in Ring of Honor when I first started. We worked together quite a bit, and he was a good dude, man. And there's still a lot of, he was misunderstood in many ways, especially like as he changed and evolved over the years as well. But, you know, we did a very fitting tribute to him. And just most of my podcast, I kind of look back at things and kind of break them down, talk about them, whatever. But like, still, I stay in reality of what I'm doing currently when I talk about the business as it is in the business. And that's what I try and not be hypocritical about. I mean, especially the guys who say that, you know, oh, they're breaking kayfabe because of Orange Cassidy and the way he does this, and he does these little shitty kicks or whatever. I mean, like, if you're talking about them, breaking it down, you're doing the exact same thing on your podcast. I mean, that goes for Jim Cornette as well, you know? So it is what it is, man. I mean, I get there's an interest and an intrigue in the inner workings of the business, but like, now on the current, when we go out there and we do things, man, we're focused on bringing the most entertaining characters, the most entertaining matchups, and the most entertaining cards we can at AEW each and every week. And that's kind of the goal of the company.
What in your mind, what can you guys do? You know what I mean? As far as AEW is doing what they do, you guys have a mixture of young talent. You have a mixture of the OGs that have been around a while. That's anchoring things. Anything else you could see happening as far as a next step? Is it a signing? Is it a different, you know what I mean? Is it a different match? What are you guys feel like you're in a good spot right now?
I think we're doing good. Ratings have been very consistent. The product is growing. The pay-per-view market has grown over the life of the company, which is only 4 years, which is no time in the big scheme of things.
Yeah.
You know, but I think what we, you know, we have Chris Jericho who busts his ass. He works so hard, and he's building a lot of young talent currently right now. You know, but guys like myself and Chris and other guys who are around to work with young guys. I mean, we're going to continue to work with the young guys, and we're hoping that a younger guy gets really hot and catches on fire and becomes like a mainstream crossover star. That's probably like the goal. I mean, I think that's what you really want to happen at the end of the day in your company. You know, once again, MJF, it's crazy how big of a star he has become over the last 4 years, you know, and he's really special, really different, really like kind of, you know, broke the mold and did his own thing. He's very good at incorporating both, you know, the real time story of whatever he's doing from a character perspective, as well as the internet stuff. He does a great mixture of both to really piss people off.
That's the job.
Yeah.
Mr. Hardy, before we get you out of here, I think my wife got a couple of things she wants to ask.
Oh,
you.
Yes. I have the important questions.
Oh, God. Go ahead, harass this man.
Yeah. I'm like, I deviate a little bit. Like, so an important question I'd like to know is if, you know, you casted yourself in any universe, DC, Marvel, whatever, what superhero would you be? I would love to know.
Oh, man. That's a fun question. I feel like if I was in Marvel, maybe I would be the Punisher.
Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if I was in DC, maybe I would be Batman, like the Dark Knight version.
I like. Yes, Dark Knight version. It's very cool. Very cool. I was like, he gets all those cool gadgets. Like the,
yeah.
I don't know what you call that car.
Start my utility boat.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you have the moves. We obviously all know this. You know, and also like you were saying with everything you do and your family and wrestling, and it's been so long. I'm curious, like, what do you do to wind down? Like, do you have something like, do you meditate? Do you get facials? You know, like, do you do ice baths? I don't know these things.
How do you chill?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do, especially if I'm sore, is just I have a hot tub that I keep at 105, whether it's in the winter or the summer, and I love to sit in that in my little hot tub jacuzzi. I mean, every morning I get up and work out, but that's very cathartic for me as well. You know, I have to do that. I have to do that to maintain, you know, being at an advanced age in this business and doing it 31 years. You know, just to stay healthy, keep everything all in good shape so that I can still take bumps on the reg. A lot of times it's just like hanging with my kids. That's probably the most relaxing thing I do. You know, in the morning it's kind of like with the youngest boy that was here, 3, and then the girl who's 1.5, I kind of hang out with them earlier. And then my 5 and 7 year old, I think they're teenagers. They like to try and sleep until like 11 a.m. already, you know, and stay up as late as they can. But hanging with those guys is a lot of fun. And then sometimes we'll put all the kids down and then my wife will just head down to our theater and we'll pick a show and watch or whatever. And like, if we can get us a good series that we both can agree on and we like, although we have different tastes, we always enjoy doing that.
Is there one you agree on?
Yeah, yeah, what you watching?
Well, I'll tell you, we just tried something last night. And I don't know what my wife thinks of it yet. We watched 2 episodes and I had a couple guys at work put it over. They said, it's kind of dark. It's kind of heavy, but I think you would like it if you like True Detective and Dexter and stuff like that. And it was called Dark. It's like based in Germany. And there's a lot of subtitles and stuff. So we watched a couple episodes and it was pretty heavy. And it's not something she would typically like, but she seemed intrigued by it. It had a pretty good plot going on.
Oh, look at that, right? That's on Netflix. Yeah. Three seasons.
Oh, wow.
3 seasons. Yeah. So we checked out the first 2 episodes of that just last night. Actually,
we might have to take a game.
I know. Yeah. We do that a lot as well. We'll find shows that we'll watch together quite a bit.
I'll tell you what really, I mean, we've done that in the past. We watched some True Blood together back in the day and she liked that for some reason. It was low over the top. So I didn't catch on till Stranger Things till later. We watched it like probably 6 or 7 months ago and we binged it like over a month.
Yo,
and
it was bad. It's
lucky,
good,
lucky
man.
Person, you.
It's that, so, yo, so if you, it's really good though. Like it, the last season,
it was incredible. It was the best, you know, which made us so excited for the next one. But it's going to be a couple years before that comes or whatever.
Oh man, that thing is very entertaining, man.
It is so good.
They're going to be so large.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, now when I was talking about that schedule, I was on the 10 days on, 4 days off. I didn't get to see a lot of TV. So it was so cool, man. Like, I became a big fan. Like, I think Breaking Bad was the first show I really got into. Mm-hmm. Once I was away from a full-time schedule at all times, I started watching that. Dexter was a big thing for me. Yeah. We watched True Blood, whatever. But then I got to go back and watch all the classics, like The Wire and Sopranos, The Shield. So it's cool. I'm a big fan of series TV. Even if I'm away on the road and I have to be gone for a couple of days, I'll have something lined up that I'll download and watch a few episodes. I really do enjoy that.
It's awesome.
If you didn't know, my husband's old. He watches Columbo like it's crack.
It's an old show.
It is on all the time. And he has fights with his father about Perry Mason and Columbo.
Yeah, like it's so stupid, but it is. Listen, man, if you ain't seen Columbo, Matt Hardy, please watch Columbo. If you like crime, watch Columbo. Okay. It's the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s.
And 2000s. He lasted a long time.
You got on that Spider-Man top there. Like, one of my most famous Matt facts was Matt has a very valuable Spider-Man comic book collection, which is true.
Do you really?
Ooh. Yeah, I do.
Do you really? Can you give me just like one comic that you have? One that you're most
Amazing Spider-Man number 5, number 7, number 13.
Good Lord, you really have that, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were that much into. I didn't know that, man. Yeah,
I haven't. That's from back when I was younger. But yeah, I got a couple.
Is it like pristine?
Well, the 13 is the five is in like probably a very good. Okay. The 9 is in a little better than that, and then the 13 is in pristine.
I'll take pretty good all day long.
Evan's
man.
Like, can I just see a picture?
Yeah, right.
We can do this interview from your house, man. Damn. But baby, give me hit him with the rapid fire, baby. Hit him with the
okay. So just rapid fire, 5 questions, no thinking, just answer.
All right.
Okay. Ready. All right. Cat or dog?
Dog.
Backstreet Boys are in sync.
Oh boy.
Don't think.
Miss the boat. In sync. Pearl Jam.
Yo, shout out to Pearl Jam, baby.
Nice. Favorite sushi?
Spicy tuna.
Oh. Will Ferrell or Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
AW or WWE?
AW.
Good answer.
My God.
He's like, miss the boat.
It's so funny, man. Like, the first music I got into, I was riding to high school with a guy who was like my neighbor, and he was a senior and I was a freshman. Obviously, he was kind of taking care of me, driving me to school and introduced me to a little rap. So I had like a big rap phase and still am a big rap fan. To so much. Public Enemy is my favorite rap group of all time. Then there was a point too, like in 1992, where some stuff started coming out, Black by Pearl Jam, and we got very into the grunge stuff. So a lot of that stuff during the 90s, like all those pop bands and stuff, I was just that was completely off my radar.
It's funny you say that. When I was, because I was a, you know, my parents got me on the old school stuff and then a little bit of the rap though. But when I was in Alabama living there, my mother was in the army, and there's a kid, I never get him. Shout out to Casey Van Pelt. He got me the Follow the Leader Korn album for like no reason, like on my birthday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I listened to that thing like 100,000 times, man.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite albums of all time to this day. He was like, hey, man, I heard you jamming to this one song when you were at my house last year. He's like, I was like, what? He was like, so I got you their album. I go, what? And I was like, he's like, you really like that Freak on a Leash? I go, yeah, I do. And I was like, I put it on. I was like, oh, now I'm in, baby. I got into that Korn and Soundgarden and Nirvana. Yeah. And oh, man, mm-hmm. Listen. I was all about that as well. Brother. Yes. Oh, wait, listen, the hotly debated question is will Broken Matt Hardy ever make an appearance? Everybody's waiting with bated breath. Is he coming back anytime soon?
Yeah, well, I've got an idea. I did a little tease on BTE a couple weeks ago, which was basically what was going on in my mind as I was looking in the mirror, you know, that like Ethan Page had kind of broken me now mentally and emotionally. So yes, I think you could see a Broken Matt Hardy return again. It would be a different version, though. It would be a much more realistic, kind of based in reality version of Broken Matt Hardy, though.
My brother, I really appreciate you taking the time and hanging out with you. You got the family and whatnot, brother. I appreciate you, brother. It's been awesome.
We had some cameos. I love it.
Got it. So, yeah, man, I'll plug my stuff, too. You guys, if you're
put it over, brother.
Make sure to check out Dynamite this week, where myself and Ethan Page, who we're buddy buddy right now, or so it seems, we'll be taking on Hook and Jungle Boy in a match on Dynamite. And every single Friday, there's a brand new Extreme Life of Matt Hardy podcast that drops. It's myself speaking about different events in wrestling, and my co-host John Alba. So I really enjoy doing that too. It's something that's very good to do that I can do later on down the road once I'm physically out of the ring. So It's very enjoyable.
Guys, make sure y'all tune in. Y'all heard a blog. Matt and John putting over everything, listening to Matt talk. You just heard Matt talk here. So I really appreciate you taking the time, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me, man. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yes, special thanks to the man they call Matt Hardy for pulling up on the first episode, the debut episode of the podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, whoop, whoop. That's for you ICP fans out there, you know, all my juggalos and juggalettes. You know what I mean? This is the official first episode of the Kick Rocks podcast. So I thank you all for pulling up and hanging with a brother. You know what I mean? It's been tumultuous. But and this is another thing. Y'all thought when I stepped away, I walked away. You know what I mean? I rolled off in the sunset, and then he comes back better than ever, you know, on a different platform. You know, and that's so crazy. And everybody that was talking, first and foremost, anyone that's listened before, I wanted to give special thanks, because like, you guys are the reason why I kind of pushed so hard to try to get back on a platform. Because when the previous employer pulled the rug out from under me with not so much as the how do you do, you know what I mean, I kind of sat back and was like, oh yeah, let me step away for a little bit and let me reassess a couple things, take a little break and see how much I want to do this. And for those who were wondering what happened, guys, your guess is as good as mine. One thing I do know, it was unceremonious. One thing I do know is I can assure you that the day I got let go of WWE those few years ago came as a shock. The day I got a call being like, oh, we're not going to move forward with Mac Mania. When I got that call, it was a bit of a, it was, but what I guess, I mean, I'm lying right there. That one wasn't a shock. The Spotify thing wasn't a shock. Now, me and my wife seen the writing on the wall based on various things that happened behind the scenes that we were not okay with. Mm-hmm. So we seen that coming. You know what I mean?
It's still going to hurt.
Yeah, it's still gonna hurt. So financially, pride wise, nah, I'm all good with that. You know, I don't really worry about that. So whatever, whoever is over there doing their thing, good for them. Wish them all the best. But one of those things, one of the things you don't have to do when you get let go from places, you don't have to like it.
Exactly.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to say, well, you know, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. You know, no disrespect to the late, great Kenny Rogers. Sometimes, you know, when to walk away. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But like, that's a banger. Though. Hold on. That's a banger. You better count you. Hold on. Rogers. But listen, no, but that's not, yes. Sometimes you're allowed to be pissed. You're allowed to feel slighted. You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to have questions. You're allowed to sit around being like, what the F? You're allowed to do those things. I want people to understand that's listening to me. If you get let go of something that you care about, you're allowed to be salty. The problem we have nowadays, we like to pretend like things don't upset us or make us mad or frustrate us. That all of that pissed me off, you know, because a lot of the time and the effort that I put in to that show to entertain people, you know, so getting it taken away from me wasn't a good thing. But this ain't the podcast to dwell. I just want to let the people that hung in there with the boy to understand that I didn't leave you. I was taken away from you. You know what I mean? Oh, I would never leave my peoples. And then when I said I'm stepping away, I'm back, man. And I like to thank anyone that sent me a message or a kind word. Y'all are one of the reasons why I'm talking to you right now.
That is right.
I said, yo, don't stop doing this, Mac. You starting to cook. I'm like, well, damn it. I just had to turn off the stove for a while, but I'm back, y'all. I'm back. In better than ever. Yo, shout out to Eric Bischoff, baby. So I pulled up. Listen, so y'all heard what the great Matt Hardy said. It was really good to have him on and picking his brain and getting his thoughts and his questions and his comments and his concerns that I had. And I just wanted to really put it like this. I just really wanted to start off with somebody that I wanted to talk to and start off with somebody that would be give you guys some info, be informative, talk about the business a little bit, give his takes on a few things, and mm-hmm. and start this podcast off on the good foot, you know what I mean? But
that last podcast, you know, can kick rocks.
Yeah. You know, it can. No, you know, guys, it's done. You know, it's over. You know what I mean?
And let's thank Odyssey for having you be their first wrestling podcast on Odyssey.
Shout out to Odyssey for just giving me that opportunity to express myself and to give me a platform. And after I get done licking my wounds and feeling sorry for myself, coming back here and just and trying to give you guys the best content I can possibly give and the best guests that I could possibly give and the best co-hosts and co-stars that I can possibly give, just to give you guys something to listen to take a break away from this crazy world that we're living in just for a few minutes at a time. But like I said, this is going to be the only time I dwell on stuff from the past as far as like jobs and getting, I'm not going to bore y'all with that. I'm not going to do that. That's not what this is about. Yes. I just wanted to make sure I use this opportunity in the beginning to let you guys know what the hell is going on and how I feel about certain things and let you know that, I guess that's all I wanted to do. But
Evan Mack likes to be heel, but to make you laugh, not to make you dwell on
Let's not sulk now. You know what I mean?
Especially, we should be excited because
just had Matt Hardy on, man. Damn it, he was happy and jovial, then the ding 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 hit, and everybody. And I'm over like, let me bring it down a few notches. Nah. I gave y'all some Kenny Rogers. What the hell you want from me? Can I be sad?
Yes, and now we'll be happy because Raw 30 just happened in Philadelphia.
Oh, Raw 30 did happen in close to my home, but like this, Pennsylvania is my home state, military kid and whatnot, but Pennsylvania is my home for various reasons, family ties, the most time I've spent in a single place without moving around with the military fam was in Pennsylvania. So
might have been where we met.
Yeah, I met my wife in Pennsylvania. My mother's family's from Pennsylvania. All my family still lives in Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania is my home. Philadelphia to me is top three, top five greatest wrestling city in the world. You heard me over.
You heard that, Philly?
Folks, you heard me. People across the pond, we're better than y'all.
Already pissing people off.
I don't care about, listen, all you haters that are living across the pond right now, I said it before and I'll say it again. The reason why y'all are such a better crowd than us, because y'all get wrestling once every 700 days. Y'all don't get it like we get it. So when you get it, you know what I mean? It's like you want to, you know what I mean? When
well, that's because they bring in those soccer chants. Sorry, football they do. Chants.
They do.
And stuff.
Yeah, so you already about to lose audience.
Sorry. Football. It's football.
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 We're American football. They're football.
Yes, that's the
but
real.
Damn it, our crowd's better than you. And Philly was no exception. And Philly was hot. And Philly was on fire. And Philly was running amok. And it was great to see the legends pull up. Now, I can understand some people that may think that hold on, man. Listen, I was reading some of the sentiment out in the Twitter sphere, and some people were getting upset as far as some people said the show was boring, and I go, damn, man, it's hard to please people in the IWC, the internet wrestling community. For those who live in the real world, the IWC is the internet wrestling community, and it's hard to please y'all. And I was like, and I was watching it. I was kind of fast forwarding because I was going back and forth from a reality show I was watching. What's it called? Who the Bleep Did I Marry? Crazy thing that's on.
Those are real stories.
Go watch Who the Bleep Did I Marry. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked. But but I was going back and forth between that and that. And then I seen the women were trending. Now I go, what the hell are the women trending? And it was like the women deserve whatever. What the hell was that hashtag? It was a hashtag. Y'all know the hashtag I'm talking about if y'all listening to your boy. And I was like, what happened? So I delved deeper. You know what I mean? I got on my detective hat. You know what I'm saying? I delved deeper and to see what was going on. And it was the ladies cage match between Bayley and the great Becky Lynch got cut short because the trial of Sami Zayn went long. And then there also was women out there and men out there. And the sentiment was there wasn't enough women representation for all the legends that helped pave the way for these past 30 years on Raw. Now, I'm not going to get into all the right or wrong of it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not in the mood to do this. I'm recording this thing late. I ain't in the mood to do it right now. Sometimes I want to piss people off, but I ain't in the mood. I will say
when you were showing me highlights, because I had to do some things and I didn't see a woman's.
Listen. I'm not saying the hashtag is wrong. This is what I'm saying. If y'all don't know who, you already heard it in the Matt Hurdy, but this is my wife talking. If you know who this random woman is, just popping in, cutting the brother off. That's my wife.
I'm also a Mac.
So this is what I will say. So after that happened, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, so what do? I find a picture that was online of the Women's Evolution, you know, that old pay-per-view that had all the women. Is a really great thing that I thought that Stephanie pulled off. Ms. McMahon, excuse me, I don't know her like that. And I posted a picture, just a picture. Now, check this out, y'all. Do y'all want to understand, if you want to understand how crazy the internet wrestling community is, let me sum it up in this thing that just happened yesterday. So Raw 30 happened. Hashtag was trending, women deserve better, whatever the hashtag was. Mackie sees a picture. He posts the Evolution picture. I didn't use the hashtag. I didn't use the caption. I didn't at nobody. I didn't at Triple H. I ain't do nothing. I posted a photo of Women's Evolution. Lord have mercy that I, and you know your boy's been on a hiatus. You know I've been on a sabbatical. You know I've been licking my wounds. So who would have thought that this tweet would start getting all kinds of traction? Like, I'm talking about, let me tell you one of the tweets from, I don't put anybody over when they talking shit. So I'm going to tell you what the tweet said. I don't do that. You ain't getting no Creedence Clearwater Revival from me. I give no one CCR. No one gets Creedence Clearwater Revival.
That's how the trolls live. You give them a, you know, it's like you give them a soul or something.
And all trolls must die. Listen. So one of the tweets was, this is the reason why you got fired from WWE. I go, what?
What? A picture?
Yo, when this person tweeted this, they probably thought that was the dopest thing ever. Like, and when it comes to that, I don't respond to that kind of stuff. I don't even block you. So then I look at the profile because I want to see if you're a sociopath, if you've killed six people. And then I see that you're following Evan. I'm like, that's weird. So then I'm scrolling. I'm getting more retweets and likes than I thought I would. Guys, that's not what I was doing. I'm not even trying to say, well, I'll get to that point in a minute. But so then I get a next tweet that was like, I thought you were above the whining internet wrestling community. Goes, but oh, I was wrong.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there like, what? Like, I literally destroyed, like, I thought you were different, Evan, but you're just like one of these pieces of shit. I go, listen, so damn, Evan Mack I can't even support women's wrestling now. Woo. I can't do that. I didn't say anything about Triple H's booking. I didn't say anything about more women being on the show. I didn't run down the gambit. I didn't even retweet what the Bellas did because they are allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to do that. All I did was post the picture of the Women's Evolution pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
What I'm
trying to say is, guys, y'all get a little too hostile about things. Like, but there's no way in hell that hashtag would be trending unless there was merit. And before you guys get all mad and get all upset, can you analyze why people were feeling that way? If you watch the show back with some objectivity, there was, for 30 years of Raw, there wasn't that much female representation. I'm pretty sure that's all the reason the hashtag was for.
Yes.
So instead of getting up in arms, like I said, I'm a WWE guy. And the thing about it is, this podcast is not going to just be about WWE. It's going to be about AEW, New Japan. Anytime I see anything wrestling related, a wrestling story, we're going to bring somebody on and we're going to talk about it. So don't think this is going to be some kind of show where we're going to be shilling for a bunch of companies, because ain't no company paying us nothing to do this, the Kick Rocks podcast. This is another reason why I'm very happy to be where I'm at. Shout out to Odyssey, because this podcast is going to be a podcast about what the hell I'm thinking. Because there was times where I didn't feel like I could say what I wanted to say to protect special interests and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I want to be a person that. No. And that's what I've been. I have never been unleashed upon a podcast ever. Today is the day. Now, henceforth, this the Evan Mack you get will be real, with no agendas, no no jobs to gain, no jobs to lose, no interests to protect. It's going to be my thoughts on this product that I love, and I love professional wrestling. So,
hence why it's called Kick Rocks.
So if you're not down with that, we have two words for you: Kick Rocks. But listen. No. but what I'm trying to say is, guys, WWE is the logo's tattooed on my arm. You know what I mean? But when I'm critical of something, with objectivity. There was a 3-hour show. There was a lot to get to. There's a very, very, the hottest storyline in wrestling, in most people's opinion, is the Sami Zayn and Bloodline storyline. And I believe at that moment it took precedence because it's such a big and it's very unfortunate, is all I was trying to say, that the ladies cage match had to suffer. But Lord have mercy, this is why you are fired, brother.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, I still don't know why WWE fired me. And I hate to say WWE fired me because of the specific part of WWE that fired me. I wish I really knew. I have a few ideas, but they said they weren't firing old Mackie. They said they weren't renewing the contract.
Special words.
Evan, we're not firing you.
Their pinkies up in the air. Renewing
the contract. And I go, are y'all going to be paying me? No, Evan. Then you firing me. What the hell? And fired your boy on payday. Damn.
Yes. Yes.
Woo. Yo, man, listen, do I sound bitter, y'all? I'm not trying to. Do I sound like I'm about to
hurt somebody? I mean, this is called the Kick Rocks podcast, listen, so maybe
y'all,
you are.
Listen, y'all. Can I tell y'all some of my feelings and my thoughts? Can this be my diary?
Hey,
can this be my memoir?
I mean, I know you talk for a living, but guys, sometimes he doesn't talk, you know? It's Evan Mack, he chills too, y'all. Okay?
I do chill, and then but sometimes this is when I like to use the talking. I save the talking for you beautiful people that are listening. And damn it, if y'all listen to this podcast, give me 5 stars. I'm asking for 5-star reviews because I'm out on my own, brother.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm out on my own, y'all. So I live by these 5 stars. I need all 5-star reviews.
I was about to go, because you know it's always brother, but I was about to be like, yeah, sister.
Yeah, you could do that. I don't know. Sister, brother, daddy, Jack. Give me 5 stars.
I don't know. People were mad at a picture about the women's revolution.
I posted a picture of the women's revolution.
So I don't know if I can say sister.
Hey, yo, y'all don't even know what I was doing. Y'all don't even know if I was talking to Stephanie McMahon on the low, and I just posted. Y'all don't know what I do. Damn it. I was just showing some love. Can I show the love to them ladies? Damn. Lord have mercy. But that's my rant. But yo, but Raw 30 was dope. Raw 30 was dope. Mm-hmm. The American Badass part was dope. Seeing the legends out there, like I said, it's dope. Listen, Hogan starting the show. I can still see people are open arms about that. By the pigment of Evan Mack's skin, you think I'm just gonna go in here and just trash Hogan, don't you? But every time you hear, listen, I'll say a few things about Hulk Hogan and we can move on. The one thing I will say about Hulk Hogan is he is one of the four pillars of wrestling. And what I mean by that is you cannot build the house of wrestling without one of the four pillars. He is one of them. I don't give a damn who else you put on the other three. He's one of them by itself. Mm-hmm. He's the one that mainstreamed WWE, WWF, yes, whatever you want to call it. That's the man they call Hulk Hogan. The other thing I will say is his theme song should instantly be the theme song of America. It should be the national anthem. I've always said it, and I don't give a damn. If I'm ever president of the United States, I don't give a damn about nothing. The first thing I'm going to do, I promise you, the first thing I will do is, like, from henceforth, I am a real American, is the national anthem moving forward.
That's it.
But any of the Olympics, you know.
I mean, if I hear one, I don't want to hear America the Beautiful. I don't want to hear a damn thing.
No.
I want to hear that.
World Cup. That's going to
be. That song makes me want to slap somebody that ain't American. But anyways, that's the two things I'll say about Hogan. Also, the thing that happened, the elephant in the room, the chocolate elephant that's in the room, the rant that Hogan went on with his son about the black folks and the N-word spraying all over the place, spraying around just willy-nilly. I'm still not there yet, but I will say this, as each day that passes, as days go by, like Family Matters, as they go by, Mackie gets a little less, I'm less concerned. Maybe that's happening with old age.
Gonna kick less rocks. You
know? I'm getting better. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm changing. So listen, there will be a day, probably 2050. Well, I'm gonna be good. Was that 27 more years?
Oh my gosh!
Because I'm telling you, I'm getting there. I'm telling you, because when that music came out, I got goosebumps. So I'm like, I know I'm getting there. I got all the feels again. So black people, shut up.
And oh my gosh. Okay, well, back to Raw 30. The one thing that I wanted to say, and again, it's probably not going to be a popular opinion. I was like, it's just me. I represent more of the casual fan. I'm sorry. Please don't get mad at me, everyone. Because I also have the WWE tattoo, you know.
Yeah, guys, sorry.
And I enjoy going to every live event that we all go to. But so it's probably not a popular opinion, but I'm sorry, you know, when, what was it? It was DX and, you know, Imperium was out there and they called out Seth Rollins. And of course, I love the Street Profits. Of course, it was great, you know, but wouldn't it just been so funny if all of a sudden, like off, you know, when they speak from the back, you just heard a shoo. Come on.
What are you trying to do? You know, I'm close with the problem. What are you trying to do?
I know, but I just thought that.
You know, I'm close to the street, but why the hell are you bringing this business? This business? Why are you bringing up this business on the
I just air? Thought it would be.
You know,
funny.
I'm close with dog at the tail. What the hell is your problem?
Of course, I liked it too, but I just think it would have been funny to see them come out and fight.
Montez Ford and Angelo Douglas. I do not share this sentiment.
It's on a comedic level, just like that.
No,
like,
I listen. Anytime Chad Gable coming, I'm good, man.
Yeah, thank
Chad
you.
Gable coming out with on. This. Thank you. I'm good with that. Anytime I get funny. Chad Gable, there ain't enough Chad Gable in my life. Shout out to Chad Gable.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, all in all, great. Like I said, all in all, great show. I seen that Brock Lesnar came back. That's always good. Right around Rumble season. Mm-hmm. That's good. Seth Rollins in his bag as per usual. Young Austin Theory still cooking. All in all, a great show. I have no complaints. What y'all want me to do? I told you, I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood to be I'm not heel Mac today. You know what I mean? I'm babyface Mac on the debut podcast. But anyways,
moving on to Evan's favorite pay-per-view. Probably
perhaps,
mine too.
Perhaps.
It's probably mine too. But it is the Royal Rumble. It is here. It is upon us. We want to see who Mr. Mac here thinks is going to win. You know, we've got the men's Royal Rumble match, the 30-man match. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting. It's kind of been tailor made this whole time for it to be Cody, and I want it to be Cody. So I'm not gonna sit here and try to be cute. I'm gonna say Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble, but I'm gonna put in a wrinkle where, because I think Cody is this kind of dude. I think Cody comes in at like one, not 30. Like not 30. I think, even though with the injury, I think he's that kind of guy that wants to show people he can go the distance and not get it cheap. I think Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble, and I think he comes in at one.
That would be incredible.
How about that?
That's a huge injury that he had there. So
yeah. The back.
I mean, and he, whoo, and he did that whole match. Ooh, he did that match.
I think he comes in at one and wins it all. Crazy, right?
That would be crazy. That would be crazy.
It would be.
This is amazing. Is there anyone that you think that's just going to come in just like, you know, when they do those ones where they like come in and they come out real quick?
I don't know. They always do the cool stuff like that. I can see Booker T, because Booker T is always in shape. I can see him pulling up. I would love Benito to pull up.
Oh, that would be pretty cool actually.
I would love Benito to just pull up and
for
get
one second
and then get a little get a hip toss somebody out. So can I get some Benito, you know what I mean? Back to Bullney. And again, that's what I want to see, you know what I mean? But yeah, Cody wins it at one. Ooh. Final four, Cody, Seth, Bobby. And somebody else, pick a fourth. I don't know.
Drew,
why not? We'll say Drew. Why not?
Unless four.
I'm getting crazy with predictions.
Yeah.
Oh, Bray maybe. He might pop in. I know he has a match with LA Knight, and we'll get to that in a second. But mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
Well, you know, Brock always. You know,
yeah. If he pulled up for a reason, I don't know what it got to be.
We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna wait. Maybe he's gonna he declared. But if Rock's in it, then Final Four for sure.
Mm-hmm. What about the women's mm-hmm. Royal Rumble?
Women's Royal Rumble. I do believe the victor will be Rhea Ripley. I do believe it's her time. I do believe it will be Rhea Ripley. I do believe it will be Charlotte Flair for the championship at Mania. Rhea Ripley's time. She's healing it up. Charlotte's baby facing it up. Perfect time to put them together. So Rhea Ripley and the great Cody Rhodes will be your Royal Rumble winners. My personal opinion.
I know she's healed, but she's a wonderful.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a good person. I don't like, she's in the character right now. I don't bother her. Now.
Yeah, sorry.
She's all healing up, but she's evil. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. She's like a freaking princess, but it's okay. Playing a role. She's
inside,
a very nice
insider
person.
Information. Insider
yeah,
information.
No, she's so nice.
So yes, well, we do have then. We're going to talk about later that Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
All right, no. All right, now listen though.
Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight.
Now listen, I know everybody out there hooting and hollering and ranting and raving about Bray Wyatt. You know the storyline is so intricate. The way he's like a Rubik's Cube wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a, what's that, Jacob's Ladder? What's that thing called? What's that thing called? You know what
I feel like he's like more like a Russian nesting doll.
He's a Russian nesting doll wrapped in a Rubik's Cube, wrapped in an enigma. If you don't watch Bray, you don't under, if you don't get it, then you don't get it. I'm like, hey. Maybe I'm just like a guy just poop or get off the pot, man. Sister Abigail, 1, 2, 3, keep it moving. All this philosophical oration of the Martin Luther King stuff. Hey, damn it.
I just want you to be the Wyatt family again.
I just want you to be the Wyatt family again. You're getting too cute. But anyways, Pitch Black Mountain Dew match. Listen, I don't give a damn. I am a super mark when it comes to product placement. Yeah. As soon as Odyssey throw up a sponsor on this thing, I'm gonna be shilling.
I mean, Evan, this thing's gonna be blacklit.
Evan, you said you weren't a shill. I said I wasn't a shill for wrestling. I'm a shill for everything else. I'm a shill for any product that's gonna put this show over the top, brother. I said I ain't gonna be shilling for like wrestling promotion, but I'll shill for Pepsi, Coke,
Kit Kat. I hope Pitch Black comes in a zero sugar version.
Yeah, zero sugar. Look at Pitch. Listen, I'm putting over Pitch Black Mountain Dew right now. Listen, Pitch Black Mountain Dew, delicious and nutritious.
Sponsored by Kick Rock's Potency.
Sponsored by the Kick Rock Potency. Mountain Dew's. Yeah, you know what I'm doing.
I said Potency. Sorry, y'all.
Listen. So. But put it like this, guys. It's a product placement match, but they got a lot of smart people behind the scenes that's gonna try to make it cool. It's gonna be a lot of witchcraft and wizardry and voodoo and a whole bunch of wide-eyed LA Knight shots, and LA Knight's gonna get beat. We all know Bray Wyatt's not gonna come back at this pay-per-view in Royal Rumble to get beat. The only thing I care about is LA Knight is getting featured, and LA Knight is to me top three heel on the earth. Right now, he's like let me talk to you. But listen, I think he is like the future version of what MJF will be one day, because MJF's a young buck. LA Knight has some years behind him. He literally is like a time traveling version of MJF. because he's more polished on the mic than MJF. He's equally as good a shape as MJF. He's just a little older. MJF has so much to learn still. Mm-hmm. And he's a phenom, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm telling you, if you're honest with yourselves out there, guys, he's a better version of MJF at this moment in time. And that has nothing to do with anything but age and experience. That's all. Mm-hmm. LA Knight is
on another level. He's polished, man. That boy polished like a boy. That boy like a boy like a precious moments doll.
Oh, is
that
my
a
God.
Was what's polished? Was he like a he Shoes? Like he's polished? Yeah, he polished like one of them old brothers in the New York subway. with a penny loafer in one hand, and some black shoe polish in the other hand. He like a brother on the. You know, one of them brothers
watch,
on the
watch Mimic. There's a shoe shine guy in there.
No, I was just watching Mimic with it's the stupidest podcast. Hold on. I was just watching Mimic with Mira Sorvino. You know what I mean? There's a brother. No, he's like, what is he like? He's like Greek or something. You know what I mean? The guy with the shoe shine guy. That's how polished LA Knight is. He's so polished that my analogy is not polished. That's how polished he is. I couldn't even come up with a polished thing. I call him a precious moments dog.
No one polishes those.
Maybe they do.
I was gonna say fine china.
Yeah, fine china. Bray Wyatt wins. Bray Wyatt wins this match. He wins it going away. LA Knight will be impressive. He's the perfect person to come back to when it comes to Bray. It's a great challenge, great stepping stone, great first match, and a great, great, truly debut match for LA Knight to really showcase his ability. But Bray Wyatt wins going away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, how about, you know, let's talk about, I don't know. I'm scared. I'm not putting a picture up on Twitter. I promise. Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss.
Hey, listen, y'all, is it all right? Can I talk about this? Hey, do it on Twitter. Can I talk about this? Is it okay if I talk about two women wrestling? Is it all right?
I know.
Is it all right with you?
Oh,
he's
my,
like,
my,
no,
my.
Because that's why you got fired from Odyssey as well. But all right, damn, I guess I can't talk about nothing, huh? So, like, Bianca wins this. Yeah, but Bianca wins this match. I think it will be hard fought. I do believe there will be witchcraft and wizardry, but I do believe the EST of WWE goes into WrestleMania with the title, with a more interesting opponent. And I don't know which one that will be, but she does win this match. So men's Royal Rumble, Cody, women's Royal Rumble, Rhea, Bianca versus Alexa Bliss, Bianca, LA Knight losing to Bray Wyatt. And I think there's one more match.
There is. But sorry, if my lack of knowledge, I've not been paying attention, not sure. Are they still doing with Alexa Bliss this Bray Wyatt stuff? Like,
yeah, a little, yeah.
They're kind of
ramping it up a little bit.
Like you said, there might be
there's possibility that something she can, you know, I don't know if she falls though at the Rumble, but
that would be shocking though.
I don't see it put like this. There's only a few titles up. I don't see any titles changing hands. If any title does change hands, it's probably Bianca versus Alexa to shock things, but they don't really need that because they have two great Rumble matches. So, like I said, I think it'll be interesting, but I think Bianca prevails.
All right. And yeah, last but not least, of course, our tribal chief versus Kevin Owens.
First and foremost, if you guys are listening to me right now, take 2 seconds. I'll pause. I'll give you 2 seconds to acknowledge your tribal chief.
Pause the podcast.
You just talk while they're supposed to acknowledge their tribal chief.
I'm sorry, tribal chief. I apologize.
Yo, listen, Roman, I'm telling you, it's this marriage, bro.
I'm the worst.
Boy, this marriage is going to hell in a handbasket. I'm gonna try that again. But this, the disrespect, listen, they're gonna cancel this podcast. You know how much pull Roman Reigns got?
I'm scared.
I'm gonna give one more sign. Let me get 2 seconds. I'm gonna give a moment of silence for you guys to raise the finger and acknowledge your tribal chief. Okay, here it goes. I'm gonna try this again for this marriage gets over. Here we go. All right, here we go. That's enough time to acknowledge your tribal chief.
I held my breath,
you
everyone.
You had ample time to acknowledge your tribal chief by putting the fingers up. If you didn't, shame on you, because I'm keeping it moving. This is going to be one of the most intriguing matchups. Like I said, it's embroiled into me, the best storyline in wrestling. It should be very, very, very cool to see what happens with Sami Zayn. I think they might be setting up something with Sami and Ro-Ro. Polly there, just adding, he's the perfect icing on every cake. So
he's the best.
I think it's going to be very weird, very close. I do believe Roman wins this match. I just don't see him dropping a title anywhere but the grandest stage of them all. I could always be wrong about this kind of stuff. I have no intel. I go into these things blind because I like to be surprised. I don't read the sheets when it comes to these kind of matches.
So, yeah, sorry. Is it okay if we enjoy the show, guys?
Can I enjoy the product?
I like to be surprised. I don't want to know.
Can I enjoy the product? But anyways, Roman Reigns in a close one, setting up something really cool between him and Sammy. Ro-Ro.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the card. I think that's it.
Yeah, that is the card. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's good. I was say, I missed a point where, you know, you wanted me to talk about LA Knight, but we did talk about LA Knight because you wrote it down for no reason. I'm just, you know.
Oh, I guess we're going to talk about him more. Let me talk. Let me talk to you, podcast. Yeah. Listen, I already talked about him, but damn it, I wrote it down twice. That's how you know I'm really.
That's why I was like, why did he write that?
Let me listen, LA Knight, man, dude, listen, oh my gosh, listen, let me tell y'all some inside information. When I was working for the company, he just got there, so I was still there when he was there, and they were putting him on different places. They were trying to really, you know, push him, and he came onto a lot of the live, like the broadcast and stuff like that. And I'm over here like trying to do interviews and things like that. And I'm sitting here. And so it's hard for me to enjoy when I was like working, I'm trying to enjoy like the character on, like we're doing the watch alongs or we're doing things like that. I'm trying to enjoy it, but we have live guests on all the time. So when he pops on, I'm looking and I'm like, this is when he first popped. I was like, this dude is a superstar. I mean,
some people just have that aura.
Man, listen, I don't give a damn where he was at before. No disrespect to his body work before. He was great there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just talking about when I seen him and the charisma and the way to pivot and these improvisational skills and how he takes care of his body, how he's in shape and how he's a great old school wrestler. I was like, this dude's a superstar, but I couldn't say that because he's in character. We're supposed to be asking him generic questions and stuff like that. And I just wanted to gush. You know? I just wanted to be like, bruh. I was like,
he wanted a fanboy.
Yeah, I wanted a fanboy out of in this joint, but I couldn't. And that was back then. So fast forward to he was in the Maximum Male Models. Everyone thought that was the death of his career. And I thought,
I thought that was funny.
I thought it was good with him at a part of it. I knew he was better than that, but I think sometimes you got to see what works. Then he gets away from that. I'm pretty sure that was a Triple H decision. I hope it was, because it was a good one. And he comes out, you know, and they put him in this program with Bray. And all of a sudden you heard it here first. That, is dangerous mm-hmm. potential to be the next what?
Mm-hmm.
That he's found out something. He's figured out something that it's hard to figure out. The yes chant, the what.
He said, and I heard the audience doing it too. He said,
and they did it. Yeah, when he does that is very close to the what. That shirt will be made. That will become a staple. If he keeps getting featured, that could be one of the greatest things that's ever happened to him. And I'm telling you right now, he is not something. Who would have thought the word instead of yes, instead of what, could be something spectacular. And it's the way he says it.
Yeah.
And it's his delivery. And it's, guys, LA Knight. Man, and there's so many people that he has to get through.
Woo.
He has to get through Roman and Bray and Cody, Drew, Bobby, Brock, Theory, Riddle when he gets back. There's mm-hmm. so many people he has to get through. But let me tell you something. Let me talk to you.
I mean, maybe he can get the United States one, maybe, or something.
No, I need LA Knight to be champion before 2024. How about that? Yeah, that's how I'm push. Let me talk to you. LA Knight, listen, brother, I need you. I'm probably cropping this out. My first crop out. LA Knight, champion 2024, baby. You on another level, brother. I don't mean to gush, but I'm gushing.
Like a pack of gushers.
Let me talk to you. Damn, I wish you could beat Bray Wyatt this Saturday, but he's not. Damn it. I would blow the doors off the place if we beat him.
And if he does, Evan's going to run up out of the house because that's what he does. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to run out the house. I'm going to run out butt naked. And I think I'll be in LA at the time. So I'll be running out butt naked in LA.
In the night.
As LA. Yeah, it's the nighttime. I'll be invisible anyway. Yeah. Let me talk to you. That was a black guy joke. So if I run out naked at night, yeah, we'll be at
it'll
night.
It'll be an LA night.
Oh, it'll be LA
That's
night.
That's what
LA
I was night. Saying.
I'm gonna run around black guy. Let me talk to you. Yeah, if y'all ain't annoyed with this podcast already, Lord have mercy.
I'm sorry,
this is just a taste. This is gonna be what it's gonna be. Yeah, we got, but I lulled y'all to sleep with the Hardy interview, so y'all think this is gonna be like a serious podcast, and then I fool you because it's not. Yeah, we're done.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, listen. Yo. One more time, shout out to Matt Hardy for pulling.
Thank you again. It was fun.
Yeah, it was.
I like how he said Pearl Jam instead of whatever Backstreet Boys, but it's fun.
Yeah, that was pretty good though. Yeah.
He said he missed that. He's like, oh.
Jeremy Spoker. I might get sued. Hold on.
Don't.
I'm gonna push the envelope.
And then Mac karaoke. If you
Jeremy Spoker.
Let's cut it.
Yeah, they probably gonna be like, hold on now, bro. They gonna flag the joint. That's a banger. So clearly I remember picking on the boy.
he's gonna get sued. We're off the air in one episode.
Yeah, that's a banger.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is a wrestling podcast, but we do venture out from time to time.
Oh, we do venture.
And, one of Evan's, passions is movies and acting and film and directing and all the things. Mm-hmm. So the Oscars have just put out their nominees list.
They did. Very excited about it, actually. Mm-hmm. I have no dog in the fight. They don't care about me. I'm not invited.
No.
I'm a big fan of craft and dedication to said craft. And I'm a sucker for beautiful film and beautiful storytelling. Mm-hmm. So, I get excited.
If you have pics, y'all, tweet them to this guy. Yeah, he will talk movies to you.
Jeremy.
Oh my gosh. But you gotta give somebody credit. Best picture section, you have who would have thought like this action movie after all these years would be in best picture? Top Gun Maverick as a best picture.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, haters,
let me tell you something. I don't give a damn what color, creed, sexual orientation, religious affiliation. I don't give a damn where you side on one. Because when you pull up to that screen, brother, it doesn't matter. And let me tell you something. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. We don't got enough time in this podcast right now. I'm trying to keep this thing light and fluffy and give y'all just a taste. But I will unpack this one day. I say Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star to ever live. I mean by movie star is box office appeal, transcending, and look, put like this. Everyone loves Tom as far as demographically, quality movies, just good enough acting, different genres, dedication to said craft. Tom Cruise, he's it. He took a damn airplane movie and pulled up to the Oscar with Best Picture. Damn it, he ain't gonna win.
Or a fighter jet movie, not airplane.
Oh, listen, damn it. Tomatoes, potatoes.
To get mad at you.
Yeah, Twitter like, that's why you got fired from WWE. I go, that don't even, what? That don't even make sense. Okay, go ahead, man. Yes, you know what I mean? He took a plane movie, movie.
Yeah.
It made a best picture. He's not going to win.
And it's a sequel.
He is coming up short, but can I just acknowledge the tribal chief that is Tom Cruise? Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Woo. But yeah, I mean, he has a lot of contenders. Like, especially,
Yeah, he's not winning.
Especially Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That might be it right there. That might be the best picture. The only thing that's gonna beat
Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, I got that damn poster on my
it's
wall.
It's almost like a tongue twister. Almost feel like it.
That's your picture of the year, you guys. I'm gonna do predictions much later, guys. But that's your picture of the year, unless the greatest director of all time pulls off the greatest thing again. Like I said. Here goes, I got a motto. They're going to put this on my tombstone.
Hollywood,
it's
going to
be like,
Hollywood.
When Steven Spielberg pulls up, everyone else better pull out. That's my motto. When that old man shows up to the show, makes a movie, everybody just walk away.
Just walk away.
So
also,
when John Williams makes music, just walk away.
Just put down your sticks.
Put down your baton and walk away. He's the best arm waverer there is. So like we said, so the Fablemans by Steven Spielberg is your best picture. That the only thing that can topple Everything Everywhere. What is Everywhere? Everything. I got it on my damn
everything
wall.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I used to, what the hell's wrong? I got this on my wall because I love that movie so damn much. But that's your best picture unless Goat Man comes in there with his passion project. And destroys everybody. That's I'm just give y'all a little taste because that the Fablemans is probably listen, man. That's the
I mean, because there's so many there.
This is the two horse race.
Yeah,
you heard it here first. I'm good at this kind of stuff. There's a two horse race, just like there's a two horse race in the best actor standpoint with the young Austin Butler versus the great Brendan Fraser for the Whale, and then Elvis. And I'm telling you right now, the second I seen the trailer for Elvis, which is more than a year ago.
Yeah.
I wrote down on a piece of paper before seeing the movie, Austin Butler is your best actor.
And he found it and it's on our fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the fridge right now. The earliest pick I've ever made in my entire life for best actor. And then Brendan Fraser comes in with a performance of a lifetime. Once again, the only person that can stop Austin Butler from winning that Academy Award is Brendan Fraser. So Evan, come on, you're waffling. I'll give you my picks later. I'll do like a little pick show. Because you know what I mean? I'm just doing a little previews right now because like I have a moment to talk about some Oscars, y'all. I see you see how I put this on the back end? Oh, you wrestling marks. You can easily just turn it off.
It's true.
But hang in with me. Hang tough. New kids on the block, baby.
You can be like, you know, Evan, kick rocks.
Yeah, you can tell me to kick. This thing about the Kick Rocks podcast, guys, that extends to me as well. You can tell me to kick rocks. I don't have the power over the kick rocks. Anybody can tell. You can tell anybody to kick rocks. That's what's so great. But I just wanted to just give a little taste. Let me gush over Tom a little bit. Let me gush over a couple of the films I've watched. Let me gush over young Austin Butler real quick, and then I'm gonna let y'all go. I'm gonna let everybody go. We're done. It's over. Every week, y'all, we're gonna be back every week. Like I said, if you guys listen to the preview that opened up the feed, with different times, we have different people to talk with, different guests from the industry, different professional wrestlers, male and female, different talking heads that I think we can bring something to the table, and we're gonna have a good old time, guys.
Yeah. So we're gonna throw in some random, you know, bullshit, you know.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you want him to talk about something, give him a.
Oh yeah, let me know. And if y'all really feeling strongly about it, come on the show if you really smelling yourself.
Ooh.
Everybody, you're welcome. I told you, anybody with a pulse that has something to say, that has some time, that's not going to say anything controversial to get me canceled, y'all are more than welcome to pull up. But yeah.
I was like, voice your opinion in a nice way.
Don't be crazy.
Don't be trolls.
Okay? Don't be trolls. Don't be trolls. This has been the Kick Rocks podcast with your boy, Evan T. Mack, and his wife, Heidi May. Yeah, man.
Thanks.
Y'all take it easy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.